So this is a text spoken by Shukadev Goswami about the futility of our lives when we are not engaging our senses in Krishna service. Futility heißt so viel wie Nichtigkeit. Translation. One who has not listened to the message about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and who has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, is considered to possess ear holes like the holes of snakes and a tongue like the tongue of a frog. Purport. Devotional service to the Lord is rendered by all limbs or parts of the body. It is the transcendental dynamic force of the spirit soul. Have you noted this? Service, devotional service, is the transcendental dynamic force of the soul. How nice it is explained. Therefore, a devotee is engaged 100% in the service of the Lord. One can engage in devotional service when the senses of the body are purified in relation with the Lord. And one can render service to the Lord with the help of all the senses. As such, the senses and the action of the senses are to be considered impure or materialistic as long as they are employed only in sense gratification. The purified senses are engaged not in sense gratification, but in the service of the Lord in toto. The Lord is the supreme with all senses, and the servitor, who is part and parcel of the Lord, also has the same senses. Service to the Lord is the completely purified use of the senses, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord imparted instructions with full senses, and Arjuna received them with full senses. And thus, there was a perfect exchange of sensible and logical understanding between the master and the disciple. Spiritual understanding is nothing like an electrical charge from the master to the disciple, as foolishly claimed by some propaganda mongers. Everything is full of sense and logic, and the exchange of views between the master and the disciple is possible only when the reception is submissive and real. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one should receive the teaching of Lord Chaitanya with intellect and full senses, so that one can logically understand the great mission. No, it is all right. They can leave the door open, but it really sounded like a major military operation. And so very nice how we could use our senses in devotional service, but also in hearing from the spiritual master. This senses are not just when we hear, we don't just engage the ears, but we use our sense, that is our mind. Huh? This is what Prabhupada explained. Now let us continue. He now will describe, this was the ideal state of engaging senses in the service. Now he will describe the not so ideal state, that is what happens when you engage your senses in a material way. How are your senses then? So also quite interesting. In the impure state of a living being, the various senses are fully engaged in mundane affairs. If the ear is not engaged in the service of the Lord by hearing about him from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, certainly the holes of the ear will be filled with some rubbish. Therefore, the messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam should be preached all over the world very loudly. That is the duty of a pure devotee who has actually heard about them from the perfect sources. Many want to speak something to others, but because they are not trained to speak on the subject matter of Vedic wisdom, they are all speaking nonsense, and people are receiving them with no sense. Interesting. Prabhupada makes a play of words. He says, man, we have to speak and hear something, but if someone speaks who is not trained in the Vedic wisdom, he speaks nonsense, and also the people who listen, they have not switched on their mind. And they are, how did Prabhupada say? And people are receiving them with no sense. There are hundreds and thousands of sources for distributing mundane news of the world, and people of the world are also receiving it. Similarly, the people of the world should be taught to hear the transcendental topics of the Lord, and the devotee of the Lord must speak loudly so that they can hear. The frogs loudly croak with the result that they invite the snakes to eat them. Hare Krishna. The human tongue is especially given for chanting the Vedic hymns and not for croaking like frogs. The word asati used in this verse is also significant. Asati means a woman who has become a prostitute. A prostitute has no reputation for good womanly qualities. Similarly, the tongue which is given to the human being for chanting the Vedic hymns will be considered a prostitute when engaged in chanting some mundane nonsense. Ulidoba. The tongue must speak about Krishna, otherwise it's a prostitute. Intense. Oh. I'm looking at my tongue. Are you all right? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Padanine Nivishesha Shunyavade Askatyale Satarine. Oh, Manjari. No, this is right. Let Manjari stay. Manjari. Psh, psh. Our little Manjari is enthusiastic. Today I want to speak about two subjects with my tongue, and I hope you will use your ear holes to listen to these two subjects. I would like to speak about Goloka Dham and Radha Madan Mohan. Hare Krishna. I think what Prabhupada said today is very relevant. If we do not engage our senses with full understanding in the service of Lord Shri Krishna, then our senses will become active in entangling us in material consciousness. So I thought we should do this today. We should chant some important shlokas about where we are at the moment, Goloka Dham, and about Radha Madan Mohan. There are five forms, it says, in which the Lord appears. He comes in the form of a true Brahmana, who is 100% engaged in his service. The Lord appears also in the devotee and through the devotee. And he also appears through the banyan tree and the cow. I offer my obeisances unto you, my Lord, who appear. Then it says, Nana Tirtha Svarupaya Namananda Kishorate Savada Loka Rakshata Rupa Panchaka Dadine. O younger son of Nanda Maharaj, you have assumed the form of all the holy places. My obeisances unto you. You have assumed these five forms to protect the people of this world. I would like to draw your attention particularly to this last form of the Lord. The Lord has appeared as a holy place. The holy place is or Tirtha is not really a place of this world. The holy place is a place out of this world, but it appears in this world to offer protection to those who go there or live there. I think we all can feel this when we are in this particular holy place, Goloka Dham. We feel protected from the influence of the material nature, and we feel as good as the spiritual world. Yesterday I had the fortune to be visited by our devotees who come from Persia, and these devotees have traveled a long, long way with great expenses to come here, and they told us that they feel really they have entered the spiritual world. And it is a fact. Wherever Lord Krishna is worshipped, and wherever there are Shalagram Shila, that place becomes a holy place. And I believe 13 kilometers, in a radius of 13 kilometers over the 35 miles even. 25. Yeah, in a diameter of 40 kilometers, say the learned Vaishnavas, that is considered a holy place. It is spiritual. Now, of course, you experience a holy place only if you have a very, how do you say, a reverential attitude. If you become over familiar with the holy place, at such a time you are, your senses become dull, and you may and you don't see it. Or if you commit offenses while you reside in a holy place, the holy place does not reveal himself. It's very interesting. There are offenses against the holy place, and one of the offenses is to commit mundane activities in the holy place. So if we would perform mundane activities in the holy place, we lose our appreciation very clearly. Very quickly we lose it. Offense which you can make at a holy place and then lose your spiritual vision is you could be disrespectful towards any of the residents of the holy place. We cannot be disrespectful towards devotees because at such a time we may quickly lose our spiritual appreciation of the holy place. So the Lord is so kind that He appears in a holy place, and in this way He offers protection to us. So now we have to see with our Manjari. Manjari, oh Manjari, so, after having talked a little bit how Goloka Dham, this place is a holy place, and how we can appreciate the Goloka Dham, I would request all of you to please consider yourself servants of this holy place. It is the service of those who reside at a holy place to make it as attractive so that people of this world can really feel attracted and be protected against Maya's influence. I want to thank those devotees who live here, who have worked very hard to make this Janmashtami Lila, Janmashtami festival actually, and into a wonderful Krishna conscious event which will be for a long time in our hearts. You have done a very nice service to the presiding deity of the holy place, Lord Nashishirada Madan Mohan, and you have also served the holy place. Technically speaking, the holy place is an expansion of one of Krishna's forms, the form of Lord Balaram. The form of Lord Balaram, he is Balaram is is responsible for the Sandini Shakti. That means the existence potency. It manifests the trees, the earth, the rivers of Goloka Dham. The Lord Balaram. Yes. I would like to now also speak about our beloved deities Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. They start to also want to hear this, so hope I will explain it rightly. Anupma, when I just said I want to now speak about Radha Madan Mohan, the door opened and we felt they want to hear it. I must be very, very authorized now. Oops, let us sit properly. Shishi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Yes, Anandini, you have to please. You're not, the back cannot be shown at this moment. Good. It is described that the Lord appears in seven forms. Sometimes it is also said in eight forms in this world. The Sanskrit is Pashan. Please repeat after me. Pashanadatu. Mritdaru Shikattamani Lekaja Saptada Te Pratikritya Achala Vachala Prabho. O Lord, Your deity forms are of seven kinds. They are made of stone, made of metal, made of clay, made of wood, made of sand, made of jewels, and made of the letters of the alphabet. That's when some devotees chant, you know what they do? They write their holy name down and they consider this their deity. Also, they may not write the holy name down. They have a printed sheet of paper where the holy name is there, and they worship these letters as the deity. Srila Gokishodas Babaji has instructed us that we should, while chanting the holy names, we should not look at anything else as the letters of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he said, if we do this, the Lord will reveal his form. Only if you chant, looking at the Hare Krishna mantra, you will see Radha and Krishna one day coming out of the letters. Oli is a graphic designer, so he, I think you can already imagine the letters, and then from it, whoop, I think we should make like a computer program, you know, from the letters. Whoop. That would be a wonderful idea, actually. I think it can be realized, isn't it? So the Buchstaben, and then schwupp, kommt das da raus. Yeah. Yeah. So this is devotees worship the letters of the holy name as a deity. The deities are made of seven kinds. Sometimes it is said you can also have Radha Krishna in your mind. That's also a deity. Your mental meditation about Radha Madan Mohan. And then, these are all Sanatana Goswami's statements. Moreover, these deities are divided into two classes, namely the moving and the non-moving. I think Radha Madan Mohan is moving. At least on Jamashtami, he moved back and forth with his transcendental flute. Did you see it? He was just not able to stand still from all the love which he had in his heart. And the birds were also flying around like anything. Even the mountains were moving on Jamashtami. Had you noticed? They were melting in ecstasy and danced. This was very nice. I liked this the most, when the mountains moved, because it said when Madan Mohan plays on his flute, the non-moving things like mountains become moving. The trees even dance, although usually they will stand on one place. On our altar, even trees danced, everything danced. This was extremely authorized. Moreover, these deities are divided into two classes, namely the moving and the non-moving. Then there's another verse. Your form as Shalagam Shila, and we have Shalagam Shilas on our altar, is always transcendental, even if kept in an impure place. Your devotees always worship the Shalagam Shila with love and devotion. And then Sanatana Goswami says, you are personally situated in each of these different forms, and these forms of you are all eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. This is the statement of the saintly persons. Therefore, O deity form of the Lord, I offer my obeisances unto you. Yeah? It's very, very important that a devotee of Lord Krishna sees that these deity forms are non-different from Krishna. If you go and have darshan of Radha Madan Mohan and you think, oh, here are some statues made from marble. What nice artwork I can see now, Indian artwork. Then you will not be able to get the mercy from the Lord. This is the Kanishta Adhikari mentality. And this type of viewing is a very dangerous in spiritual life. We should not view the deity with our eyes, who can see, unfortunately, only stagnant form, stillstehende form, and when we see the deities. No, we should see the deities with our heart. When we learn to see the deities with our heart, then only can we see Radha Madan Mohan. Our heart can be prepared by reading authorized literature like Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, a nectar of devotion, so that our heart, which carries the impressions of these shastras, and therefore a certain bhava, a certain Krishna conscious mood, can develop eyes. Then, strictly speaking, we do not see through the eyes of the body, we see through the eyes of the heart. I would like to give you an example of Manas and her little daughter, Manjari. When Manas, the mother, sees the daughter, she sees the daughter with great affection and love. She has given birth to the daughter, she has fed the daughter daily, and she has knows all the different moods and languages of the daughter, and so on. And she sees the daughter differently. When I see Manjari and she is loud in the lecture, then I see her, oh Manjari, you're such a disturbance. I do not see the girl with the same eyes as the mother, because in my heart is not the same love. I want to be I want to give a lecture, and the mother is a mother, she wants to understand and take care of her child. And it's very important. When there's love in the heart, you see a person entirely differently. See, I may feel Manjari as a disturbance. She's not. She's a very nice girl. But I'm just giving an example. And when she makes noise, I may think, ah, Manjari, you are really too much. But the mother, when the Manjari makes noise, thinks, oh, she needs something to eat. Oh, no, she's uncomfortable. Do you see? She sees the same event, but she has love in her heart. Is this clear, this example, Manjulari? I see the disturbance. Mother sees there is a need. I will run to take care of the need now. So when you see the deities, you must also learn to see with an heart which has love in the heart, which will come as you read and understand more about Radha Madan Mohan. So I want to now praise Radha Madan Mohan a little bit, glorify them, so that we can get love in our heart. I would like to read to you from a very nice prayer. It's called Jagan Mohanashtakam. It's a wonderful prayer which we discovered just a few days ago. One name of Madan Mohan is also Jagan Mohan, the one who bewitches and enchants the whole Jagat, the universe. Our Madan Mohan is not only attractive to the God of love, he's attractive to the whole universe. Hare Krishna. So there is a very nice prayer which I would like to read to you. And then we will make a photocopy for Manjulali so that she can have it, this prayer also. It starts like this. Gunjavali Veshtit. Your name is almost there, Manjulali, in this prayer. Gunjavali Veshtita Chitra Pushpa Chudavalan Manjula Navya Picham Gorachana Charutamala Patram Vande Jagan Mohanam Ishtadevam. Please repeat. Vande Jagan Mohanam. Vande Jagan Mohanam Ishtadevam. Let us bow down to my worshipable deity, Sri Jagan Mohan or Radha Madan Mohan, whose crown of multicolored flowers, which is wrapped in a garland of gunja flowers, has a beautiful fresh peacock feather, which sways to and fro, placed in the middle of it, and whose forehead and limbs are adorned with enchanting Gorachana Tilak. Now here we learn of our deity. It is described, he has a crown, and there are many different color flowers, and around this crown there's a garland of fresh gunya flowers. He has also on top of it a fresh peacock feather which rocks to and fro. And then he has this Gorachana Tilak is very yellow tilak, which is on his forehead and on his limbs. I think you can immediately feel why Krishna uses Gorachana Tilak, because he's like a bluish, dark blue monsoon cloud. So yellow is a good contrast to it. Like the dhoti is also, it can only be yellow gold, because yes, it's a good contrast. Holy will be able to tell us. Dark blue and gold is the ideal combination in colors. Everyone knows. Want to hear another verse? Good. I offer praman to my worshipable deity, Sri Jagan Mohan, whose eyes are forever pierced by the sidelong glance arrows of gopis, maddened by the movement of his eyebrows, and the tip of whose nose is decorated with a beautiful jewel-studded pearl ornament. Here it's described how Madan Mohan really influences his devotees. He makes them mad by the movement of his eyebrows. This is very difficult to imagine for a. Then the gopis say, "Enough," and close their eyes. But then Madan Mohan takes out his ultimate weapon, the flute. Shoop. The gopis are like this, and then he plays his flute, and then they became totally ecstatic. Then they say, "We cannot bear this any longer," and they stand like this. But Madan Mohan still knows how to make everyone fully attracted by the beautiful fragrance which emanates from his transcendental body. He will go through the nostrils, the nose, into the hearts of the gopis, and they are still mad from all this wonderful thing. And he has a wonderful, here it said, jewel-studded pearl ornament. on the tip of the nose. So this is very good. Sometimes it is said there is just one. Rajanmani means the king's pearl here. It is hanging here. It's described when Madan Mohan breathes through his nose, the pearl will swing back and forth. When the gopis see this, they also become mad because it's so beautiful. And this pearl is covered with a little red from the inside of the nostril. It is reflected on the pearl. And then there's white pearl with the red inside. It is extremely maddening for the gopis. I think we can, when we see this, we would immediately fall down and not wake up for 10 days. You know, it's so beautiful. Wonderful. Please repeat. Vande Jagan Mohanam Ishtadevam. Means I offer pranam to my worshipable deity, Radha Madan Mohan, the enchanter of the three worlds, whose blue cheeks are decorated with a charming smile. This smile seems to kiss the splendor of his dangling locks of curly hair. So the smile is very big, so it comes to the hair of Radha Madan Mohan. Seems to kiss the hair. Wonderful. This is totally ecstatic. And his left shoulder is touched by the tips of his swaying means fish-shaped earrings. So his left shoulder is touched by the tips of his fish-shaped earrings. Why not the right shoulder, Anandini? What is your explanation? Only Madan Mohan's left shoulder is touched by his fish-shaped earring. Why not also his right shoulder? You know, when you have the earrings, you know, the... Saranandi is already knowing the answer, I can see. Yeah, because he's in the Tribhanga form, he put three times curved, it's like this, then his hip comes out here, and his feet come there, and then he is on the left shoulder. You follow? He's playing his flute like this. His head is moving towards Radharani, who's also on that side. Then the earring comes here on the shoulder and not there. There is maybe a difference of the... Hare Krishna, you look at me. This is a natural explanation, no? Wait a minute. You have to see. No, the flute goes like this. Yes, but he plays like this. No? Manjulali, please look. Is his head towards Radharani or away from Radharani? Towards, so it's correct. What? Yeah, of course. Otherwise it would go in the face of Radharani. This is... Please, you, Anandini is our student from the university, Zagreb. Please investigate. Is this correct, what we say? Anandini has given us her approval. Yeah. You can all look if you don't believe this is Shastra. So I offer my pranam to the feet of my worshipable deity Jagan Mohan Sri Krishna, with his neck slightly tilted, a little bit like this, tilted. A flute brilliantly adorns his curved lips, which themselves reproach the splendor of the banduka flower and the ripened bimba fruit. So these are glorifications of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Tomorrow I will quote to you the remaining four shlokas of this prayer, which is a wonderful prayer to the Lord who enchants the whole world. So this is the subject matter which we as devotees of Krishna need to hear, so that transcendental sound vibration enters our ears and our hearts. It's very important. Otherwise, our senses will just attract mundane sound vibration, and these mundane sound vibrations will ultimately be able to kill our spiritual life. The example which has been given is the example of the frog who croaks, quack, quack, quack. And in the autumn time, when he is very lusty and wants to have children, then he quacks very loud, quack, quack, quack. But the snake hears this and comes, and he makes a scientific investigation. Who quacks the loudest? He is the fattest frog, and then the snake comes to this enthusiastic quacker. This happens when we are talking about mundane things very loudly and enthusiastically. The snake of Maya will come and swallow us. Yes. Another example which has been given in the Bhagavatam is that the deer is caught by the hunter by music. He plays on a flute, and then the deer hears this flute song and comes close to the hunter, who shoots an iron arrow, whoosh, in the heart of the deer and kills it. This happens when we give our ears to mundane sound vibration. Also, our mind can speak to our ears. Mentalni, you know, mundane information, mundane vision. When we hear too much of our mind preaches to us all this material sound vibration, that can also kill us. Therefore, it is so important for devotees to regularly purify the mind by making it think nicely about Lord Krishna and Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Hare Krishna. I have come to the end of this class. I hope you feel inspired to be in Goloka Dham and to serve, like anything, our beautiful Vande Jagan Mohanam Ishtadevam, the worshipable Lord of Goloka Dham, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, and so on. We have many plans to make this into a wonderful place, and by Krishna's mercy, he sends us such nice devotees, as all of you are, and also all the devotees who live here on the project, who are very dedicated to serving Radha Madan Mohan. So, yes, and our devotees who are visitors, please come as often as possible. We are very attached to each one of you. We feel our life gets meaning when devotees come and visit and stay with us and serve Radha Madan Mohan. Yes. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions regarding these points? These or other points? How did you like the prayer, Manjulari? Excellent, isn't it? The prayer, beautiful. Yeah. We will make a photocopy today for you. Yeah, Sabina.
What can we do if we're not living in a holy place all the time? How can we protect ourselves against mundane sound vibrations?
What to do? Yes, I will repeat the question for the tape. What to do when we don't live in a holy place all the time? How can we protect ourselves against mundane sound vibration? Rupa Goswami describes that when you do not stay in a holy place, then you can, in body, you can stay in mind there. I want to tell you some little techniques how to stay mentally in a holy place. Something which very often helps is to stay in the is. Let me do it. Say it a little bit personal. What I do when I like Vrindavan very much, as and I have many memories of Vrindavan, and then when I chant, I sometimes go in my mind to holy place in Vrindavan. I remember last year I found a very nice tree in Vrindavan. Before the tree there was a river in Vrindavan. I was chanting on the lawn and I was sitting there in the wonderful atmosphere. It was near Suryakund, and I saw many wonderful birds there, and the atmosphere of Vrindavan just came to me like anything. Or I stayed at Govardhan Hill for the Govardhan retreat. Wow, that's so wonderful. You must all one day come there. And because we see each day only Giriraj from morning till evening. We are totally influenced by his presence in our mind, and then also now I think, oh yeah, Krishna, the Govardhan. Also here in Goloka Dham, we have a beautiful river, that's the Yamuna, and there the Giriraj starts, the mountain. You know, we think like this. We think this is not a mundane place. We think there's the Govardhan Hill and the Yamuna. Everything is there. You must agree. So kann man das auch sehen, ne? Yeah. So I would suggest to you that's why we go to the holy place. We collect impressions in our hearts which stay there like photographs. You don't need a photo apparatus. You have the heart. It's much better. Of course, sometimes photos do help to us to remember. I'm not saying photos are not good or necessary. No, no. But the ultimate thing is what happens in the heart. Yeah. See, Krishna consciousness really happens, Sabina, if you fill your heart with Krishna. Then you are ultimately protected. Prabhupada spoke about this point of protection, like with an analogy. He said our heart is almost like a glass. When we fill the glass with one liquid, say milk, then it's full. Nothing else can come in. But if the heart is empty, then anything, any sound vibration, wow, Led Zeppelin, very good, and other mundane sound vibration can come in. Swiss folk songs, du, du, du. Wenn die Äpfel reif werden, Sibylla, dann gehen wir auf die Alm. So, dann fällt das ein. Krishna. Any other question? Foriba. We can preach about it, like you do, by humans and Faribas, preaching so many wonderful flower-like devotees from Persia are coming. You can say, oh, Golokata, and this was a Jamashtami, look at the movie and see the Narada Madan Mohan, see them very, you can give pictures as presents, you know, you can make photos and then make copies in Tehran from the Photoshop and say, here, Radha Madan Mohan. And then everyone puts Radha Madan Mohan on their altars, you know, that you can do. Yes, you can spread the glories of Radha Madan Mohan. Nice pictures. You can ask Manjulali for Mahanats. And then you bring your Mahanats because they last, they don't become rotten, to Tehran, and distribute them to the devotees. Anandini has asked about the drops of mercy which come from Lord Krishna as encouragement so that we can go on in our path, as asked, is it possible to always obtain such mercy? Well, mercy generally is causeless. But still, we know a secret that the heart of Krishna is moved by devotional service. We know this secret. He has given away his secret. But it's natural. When there's someone who serves so nicely, then in the heart comes a feeling of, let me show this person my intention. That's a way to conquer Krishna's heart by devotional service. So if you wish to have the mercy, then you should really make advancement in your service attitude and in practical service to the deities, and then they shower mercy. But Krishna's mercy, I think that's very important for us to know. It's something which we can't really, so to say, influence. You know, we should not think, in other words, by my activities, I can force or bend Krishna to show me mercy. Sometimes, see, Krishna's mercy is something very interesting. What we consider in this world as maliteshko, maliteshko means a little heavy, is also the mercy of Krishna, Nandini. See, we have this dual vision. We only see one part always, but for the devotee is also Krishna's mercy when he sometimes chooses to not show himself, to make us more eager, and to make us say too much. I'm so fallen, you know, and so on. This is also Krishna's mercy. There is a song by Vallabhacharya about the sweetness of the Lord, and he says, your stick is sweet, your gopis are sweet, your smile is sweet, your ladus is sweet, but also your punishment is sweet. He sings like this because it may be necessary for our spiritual upliftment. It is a complete picture. We always tend to take only one thing. So, yes, become a fully dedicated servant of Radha Madan Mohan Anandini. You are already. But you have to think about this area. And this is what I think we all were overwhelmed on Janmashtami to see that beautiful outfit which we... Whew, many times it changed according to what happened in the day, and this is very, very nice. We felt we are no longer in the material world. We felt very clearly now we have reached the spiritual world. There was no doubt in our minds because the service was very nicely performed. That this is their birthday. Now we should make a real nice festival for them so that they can enjoy. I really liked that very much. I just read a Vyasa Puja offering that about devotees participating in the pastimes of Krishna. Usually the only pastimes where we participate is the Jagannath Ratha Yatra, where we can pull the chariot towards Vrindavan. Were you in Rijeka? Did you also feel this is so nice? We are now pulling the Lord. It is, but somehow, also during the festival days, it's very important that devotees get to do something for the deities, like singing for the deities, dancing for the deities. Then we can, in some ways, or like this wonderful idea to go to the different pastimes places. Did you have time to go, or you did service on the altar during that time? No, Janmashtami, when we... That was also, we were walking with Krishna to Suryakund and Radhakund and so on. And we felt all, you know, when we saw this long queue of devotees going over the river, I thought, wow, this is spiritual. We are now going all to Radhakund. Wonderful. And hearing what is happening there at this time. In the 11th canto, if you really want to know how to please the deities, there are some very, very nice instructions in the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna speaks to Uddhava. It's in the 11th canto. And there are some very, very nice chapters where he says we should organize festivals for the deities. We should make flower gardens for the deities, that they get their fresh flowers, which are grown on their land. That's a nice service also. And there are many nice services, and you might like to read this in the Uddhava Gita. I can point out exactly where it is, and then you can educate yourself what nice services you can do for the deities. I think we have 9:15. This is a good time to end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi, most merciful Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Damodar Priya und Saranandi, kommt hin. Dein Kugelschreiber. Damodar Priya, das ist das Gebet. Das kannst du fotokopieren und Manjulari so vielleicht sogar eingeschweißt geben. Ja, okay, gerne. Natürlich.